The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So instead of talking into you, into the room, without having a clue what you're interested in, what's relevant for you, I thought today that I would ask you if you have any questions or any topics or anything that you want to say.
Can you say something about the jhanas?
Could you say something about what the jhanas are?
So what the jhanas are. So the word jhana refers to particular strong states of concentration, absorption concentration. And I'd like to think of them as being states when we're completely, fully interested in what we're paying attention to. And it's kind of rare that we give our full, complete attention to one thing. It tends to be kind of healing to do that, because often when we're not giving our full attention to something, then we're often split and often being pulled left and right, and we have kind of unresolved things going on, or you know, reactive emotions or judgments or all kinds of things which tend to undermine us. And when you give yourself fully over to something that's healthy and wholesome, undivided, undistracted way, it tends to have a healing effect on the whole being. Okay? Thank you. Yes?
Thank you. I've been wondering about the purpose of life, and sometimes my own, what is my purpose in this life. And I'm wondering if all humans have a common purpose, or do we come with a very sort of specialized purpose in life? What do you think?
Well, in order to kind of flesh out a little bit what you're thinking about all this, and the way you said it, because one of the first thing that occurred to me when you said we all have a common purpose or something, it's not necessarily a wise thing that happened. First thoughts are necessarily wise, right? But it might kind of. So the first thing I thought was, we all share the common purpose of keep breathing. You know, better keep it going. It's something we generally want to do. Hold your breath and you really want to do it. So now, having said, if I said that, do you want to say a little more about this? What are you thinking about?
This is coming to me is I started to read the book, the Tibetan book of Living and Dying. And I'm thinking about death in relationship to life. Mm-hmm. And so so then this unknowing comes to me about my own purpose in life and how to live my life in a passionate full way. Mm. And so I've been wondering about purpose, and do we all come here with a common purpose, or are we not just here to fulfill a particular purpose?
It's a good question. You know, one of the field of developmental psychology points out that as we're growing up, we develop and needs or have certain needs to be met in order to mature properly. And if some of those things are not met as we're growing up, then there's still a need. and that sense of need or that sense of, you know, of lack of something can be very motivating for people. So, and becomes their purpose of their life. So someone who didn't have real stability and good, warm family growing up, in order for them to feel complete or feel settled or to relax, there's a strong purpose and need to grow into that possibility of feeling at peace and at home in this world right now. And then, all of us are seldom finished any of the developmental stages, but some of them, some people are quite strong. And so part of theirs is to kind of fulfill certain needs. And so different people have different kind of things that are really important for them. The need for belonging, the need for love, the need for having a sense of worth, self-worth, the need for be able to have a purpose in life, which you're asking here. And so, and what is a purpose in life is different people, I think, at that level of, we have common needs, common purpose we need to fulfill, and then we have things which are unique to each individual. And so we have a little bit of overemphasis, I think, in our culture on finding the thing that's our thing, our purpose, what our life is going to be about. And some people, it isn't the thing that they do that's important, but their purpose in their life, what makes their life feel fulfilled, is how they do things rather than what they do. And so that they do whatever they do, it doesn't really matter if they work at McDonald's or they're a brain surgeon and saving a lot of lives, it's the how they do it. And one of the clues to finding a sense of purpose and what's valuable for you is to imagine yourself on your deathbed, and you look back over your life, and when you look back over your life, or if you're on deathbed, imagine you're on deathbed today, look back over your life, and what do you want to remember? What brings a smile to you? What kind of nourishes your heart when you think back over your life? And there are people who do conventionally really great things in their lives. They look like, wow, that person had a big purpose in life. They were, I'm sorry to use a doctor analogy, but they were a doctor or a nurse, and they did all this wonderful stuff for a lot of people. But when they think about their life, that's not what they remember. What they remember was the way that they took care of their neighbor when the neighbor was sick. And that somehow was nourishing, was meaningful that they did that. So this thought exercise, what is really, what do you remember? What's important for you? What lingers? Sometimes is a clue to this, because otherwise we look sometimes as we want to be Mother Teresa. We want to do, these big public things or something. Does that make sense, some sense? Does this kind of give you something to think about? I'd rather give you something to think about than give you an answer. Is this okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Someone else? I might have something to give you to think about.
There are a couple things that over the last week I've heard that are still mulling in my mind, and just thought I would bring them up and see what you had to, if it sparked something in you. One is, I was listening to Barry Curzon, a monk who spoke at the compassion and altruism thing at Stanford last night, and he was talking about self and our bodies and who they belong to, what does this, and he brought up the idea that our parents, we're a product of our parents. They're, your mother's egg and your father's sperm, and if your body belongs to anybody, it's not you, but it's your parents.
I wish they'd take more responsibility. I could use some help here.
Well, that was the first thought. I appreciate your...
They better take care of me better. It's more the other way around now. I'm responsible for them. at this age.
The other thought was, is Matthew Brimsilver had mentioned last week that perhaps enlightenment was the ability to respond appropriately at every moment.
Nice.
And it's something I've been thinking about for about a week. And instead of this grandiose thing, it's just the ability to respond.
Mm. So how do these two topics come together?
I'm not really sure, because I've just, you know, as you, I'm not sure if they come together for me, but there are things that stuck with me, and I've been mulling them over.
Great. And that's very nice. Yeah. Very nice to mull over. I think that, you know, the first thing that went through my mind when you talked about our, you know, bodies, who does it belong to? It depends what you mean by belongs, because the first thing that came to my mind, my body doesn't belong to me, but I am responsible for this. You know, if I get all sweaty, I'm not asking you to take me to give me a bath. You know, I'm supposed to bathe myself. I take care of this body, exercise, and I do things for myself. But it's not because I feel like the body is me, like mine, but the ability to respond, the appropriate response, this is the domain where no one else is going to take responsibility for at this juncture. And so it's, rather than asking what is mine, it might be, and who's responsible, it might be more interesting to ask who has the ability to respond. And what's the appropriate response, given the conditions we're in, the context we're in? And, you know, if I'm all sweaty and dirty, the context of my life these days is I have the ability to do something, and I'm the one who needs to do it. In that sense, my body belongs to me. But when I get to be old and incapable and can hardly get out of bed, and I'm all laying there and all dirty, is it still my body in a sense? But who has the ability to respond then? I don't have the ability to respond. Someone else has the ability to respond, and in that context of that our shared life, I hope someone else picks up that response ability. So this idea of the appropriate response and the context for the response is very important, and maybe, I don't know if you were here in the early morning, but I said, I gave this little slogan, don't pick up what's not yours. And so you know, but the appropriate response. And then the question that Nina asked about the purpose of life. I don't know how a person finds purpose. But I think for me, a lot of it has to do with the appropriate response, that our human system has a capacity to respond. We respond emotionally, we respond intellectually, we respond motivationally. There's all these ways, the responses that come out of us. And it doesn't have to be so thought out. But sometimes it's a matter of really tuning in to what is it that wants to be expressed, what wants to come out of here in our response to the life that we have. And some lives, you know, if our neighbor breaks her leg, what wants to come out of us is to go and help the neighbor, not go play golf that day. You know, but if you feel like you've been sitting cooped up a lot, and maybe sitting at the bedside of someone in the hospital who's been sick for a long time, and you felt like you've been there for hours and hours and hours, then what wants to come out of you is to go for a run or go to do some yoga to kind of get things going. And you can feel that to come into balance, or feel that that's the desire or the wish. Or sometimes there's the wish to do art or music. So this ability to be, what arises out of us, and to listen to that, I think for me is really key to a free life. And I think that the more relaxed we are, the more less we're conflicted, the less we're caught up in greed and hate and fear, then we can trust the response that we have. and that the sense of purpose comes out of that response to causes and conditions. Last thing I'll say about the whole idea of purpose, I struggled with this issue when I was at Tassajara, living in the monastery, and what to do with my life and what purpose to have. And at some point I recognized that a very intense year of thinking about this question for myself, that I was mostly abstract thinking, imagining the future, other times, other places, and the world out there. And at some point I decided it was too abstract, that I would let my response and my sense of purpose arise out of the next step of what's in front of me, what happened. And that was a great choice in my life. And I felt very lucky that I made that choice in a monastery, in a Buddhist monastery, because it was a very good place to kind of figure out the next step and allow things. But that's kind of my life since then, has been kind of taking that next step and responding and letting it grow from that. And, my life's gotten much more complicated from the day I made that decision. But it was all the growth of that, responding to the next step, the next thing in the moment. So the ability to respond. And I think for me it's been very important. So thank you.